Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, a podcast that approaches infinity the way some people approach a bag of Cheetos. I'm your host, Pete Pollock, and this week on the show, Lawrence of Arabia, a small film about a small man in a small world. Oh, wait, I forgot. It's opposite day. That's correct. It's a big film, and we're going to learn more about it as soon as the music does its thing. I have to say it is a long film, and the question with a long film is, first of all, does it meander, and is it worth your time? I guess that's true of any film, but it's much more important in a long film because you're investing, double the amount of time. It's like 3 hours and 40 some minutes, I think, and so it's quite the epic, even in an era when epics seem to be more common than they are now. Lawrence of Arabia stars Peter O'Toole in possibly a career-defining performance as Lawrence, T.E. Lawrence. He's a British Army officer, and he is assigned to go see what's going on with the Arabs during the Great War. And he goes, and he meets them, and he decides that he should help them get their act together. Now, why do they need to get their act together? Primarily because there's a lot of bigger countries or actual countries, and they're pretty tribal. And there's a lot of countries that are colonizing their territory, invading, taking up space, whatever it is that exterior powers do when they move into a tribal area. And so he decides he's going to help bring the tribes together. Well, of course, that's easier said than done. These people, a lot of the tribes, they don't really like each other very much. It's kind of like the rivalry between Chicago and Milwaukee. You know, they just don't want to put up with each other, even though they're neighbors. And so you see a lot of this. They make fun of each other. They rip on each other all the time, the different tribal groups. And he has his work cut out for him, trying to get them to all achieve a common goal, which in this case is fighting the Turks. Fighting the Turks is good for the British because the British don't want the Turks there. And so any Arab fighting the Turk is one fewer British guys that has to be fighting Turks. Plus, they managed to stir up a lot of trouble in kind of a guerrilla warfare style and do a lot of damage. So Lawrence puts together this ragtag army of misfits, and they really are kind of a ragtag army, and they start to have some success, and different people start joining up with them, different tribal groups, and it gets bigger and more successful, and then the British wonder if they've maybe unleashed something that is going to come back to haunt them. We'll let history be the judge of that. But the thing that I enjoyed about this movie, first of all, let me say, Peter O'Toole, I know that he is often, he and this movie are linked together, and everybody says what an awesome performance it is, and it is a good performance, but in my opinion, it's kind of a strange performance, and I often feel this way about Peter O'Toole. He doesn't really do much the regular way. And that's probably good, but he's, he comes at it and he's, you've got this guy who's, he basically becomes like a warlord and, uniting all these people and plowing across the countryside and having all this military success. And he's a little bit of a dandy kind of, and maybe in real life, Lawrence was like that because it is based on a real guy, but it's just kind of a strange thing because you're used to, coming at things from the American point of view, the modern point of view. You're going to expect to see Bruce Willis or John Wayne or somebody like that in a movie like this. Something, some guy with machismo to spare. And Peter O'Toole really doesn't project that. He kind of wonders what he's doing sometimes, and he freaks out at one point and doesn't want to do it anymore, and just wants to go into like a normal life. And so maybe he was the right choice for the role, but he definitely approaches it in a way that just seems off kilter. And I've seen him in other movies and I felt the same way, but you know, that's just his thing and it works. But that's one thing that I noticed. But one thing I really liked, getting back to my point of like 5 minutes ago, is the Arabs in the film, and I should say the people who portray Arabs, because most of them aren't actually Arabs. It's that old Hollywood filmmaking thing where, you know, you get guys who... let me put it this way. I don't think you have to be, in every circumstance, the same race, nationality, whatever, religion, to portray a character. You're an actor, you stretch the boundaries of your, you know, yourself and the person you're portraying. I don't really have a problem with that, but there was an era in Hollywood, a very long era in Hollywood filmmaking, and filmmaking probably in general, where these, you know, you had white guys portraying non-white guys all the time. And, you know, that's a little unfortunate. It's a lot unfortunate, really, because there were a lot of good actors who probably just fell by the wayside. But political stance aside on this, you've got Alec Guinness as an Arab leader, okay, British guy. You've got Omar Sharif. At least he's Egyptian, so, you know, he's in the vicinity. You've got Anthony Quinn, Mexican guy, as an Arab leader, you know, but all of these guys, the beauty of this film is that the Arabs are not portrayed in a lot of films. I'm trying to think of a good way to describe this. A lot of films would want to take them and put them on a pedestal and say, okay, they're these awesome, honorable people who do everything right, and it's the British who are the bad guys and the Turks who are the bad guys and everything else. Or they would go the opposite direction and say, these people need the Brit to unite them. You know, look, what they can't do anything without having this European guy show up. The film nobly, I think, finds a middle ground, which is more realistic. Some of these guys are fighting for honor and their beliefs, and others are fighting because there's profit in it or whatever. And this is how real people are. So I think that it takes a good stance where it shows them realistically having a diversity of opinion as to what they're doing, and that adds depth and realism. The film itself, in my opinion, which is, after all, what we're talking about here, it's long, and the intermission comes, I'm going to say, at about the two-thirds mark. It's a really late intermission. For my money, the first two-thirds, the pre-intermission part, is a little bit more cohesive. The last third meanders a little bit, but overall, definitely sucked me in, held my attention, and it's a good film. So this baby is a buy it. And you're going to need to buy it because, you know, nobody can, if you rent it, nobody can get it back in time because it's such a long film. So that's my recommendation. Go buy it, check it out, and watch it and enjoy it. It's definitely worth seeing, and watch it more than once, but, you know, be prepared to make a career out of it because it's big and long. Next week on the show, Tom Jones. And I don't think this has anything to do with Tom Jones, you know, the singer. But we'll find out. Actually, I've got my work cut out for me on this one because it's out of print. I think it's the last one that's out of print on my list of Best Picture winners. I don't know why it's out of print. It's from the 60s. It's got some big names in it, but we're going to find it. I will track it down sometime this week. Even if I have to go to the depths of VHS land, I will watch this film and I will report back to you next week. Until then, I am Pete Pollock. This is the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast. It is a production of the Big Noisy Bug Media Empire. Have a good week, everybody. See you soon.